and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The world waits to learn whether President Trump will join Israel's attacks on Iran.
I like to make the final decision 1 second before it's due, you know, because things change. I mean, especially with war.
The U.S. is evacuating diplomats and their families from the embassy in Israel. Iran is readying missiles for strikes on U.S. bases in the region. CBS's Charlie Daggett reports the U.S. military is preparing for any scenario.
A massive amount of military equipment, a carrier strike group that's been there for a while, the Carl Vincent, there are several destroyers with it, some in the Red Sea.
President Trump met with his security advisors again today. Alexander Tin reports the FDA has approved a first-of-its-kind shot to prevent HIV.
The twice-yearly injection outperformed other options like daily pills of the HIV prevention drug Truvada.
This shot nearly eliminated new infections. Experts say it could protect millions of people around the world. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Kemp's made a large donation to help combat food insecurity. Lisa Hale has details.
Milk is one of the most requested yet least donated items at food banks and pantries. Wednesday, dairy brand Kemp's donated over 30,000 milk cartons to the Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin Center in Appleton. The donation is just part of the 800,000 cartons of milk that Kemp's is giving to food banks across the Midwest. According to Feeding America, 617,000 people are experiencing food insecurity in Wisconsin, and with rising food costs, that number continues to grow.
Wisconsin could see a sharp-tailed grouse hunt for the first time in years this fall. Last week, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Sharp-Tailed Grouse Advisory Committee met to review population data and make the recommendation to the agency. The committee decided to recommend a hunting season for the first time since 2018. If approved by the DNR, the hunt would be held from October 18th to November 9th. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking landowners to host the gun deer hunt for hunters with disabilities this fall. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Assistant deer and elk specialist Brooke Van Handel says the program helps remove barriers. Interested landowners must have at least 60 acres of land available and be able to host at least 3 hunters. Landowners have through July 3rd to submit an application. The hunt runs October 4th through the 12th. More information is available on the DNR's website.
Ruby's Pantry is this Saturday in Wisconsin Rapids. The time is 8 to 9:15 a.m. at Pitch Early Learning Center. Cash bundles are $25 each, and you can purchase as many as you want. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Jair joins the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, former Packers defensive back Jair Alexander has signed a one-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens worth $6 million. Baseball, Brewers are in Chicago tonight. They lost to the Cubs 5-3 last night. Pat Murphy.
That was a good game. A lot of great defensive plays, both ends. They hit in the clutch. You know, they did some clutch hitting. Suzuki's homer changed the game. I'm proud of our guys. We did some good things. We didn't necessarily hit big situations, but leaving 10 guys on base or 9, whatever it was. But, you know, credit to their pitching staff and credit to their defense. They got a great lineup.
The Cubs' Pete Crow Armstrong with a diving catch of Bryce Terang's liner in the 8th and followed that up with a 2-run homer in the 9th, 452 feet, hitting the scoreboard. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
That's why we come to the ballpark, to see things like that, to see great players do great things. Great players do amazing things. Pretty cool.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy at a low in the upper 50s. Sunshine warmer and more humid tomorrow, high in the mid 80s, with more showers and storms around Thursday night and Friday. Highs again into the mid 80s. 90s ahead this weekend. Right now it's 73.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Hope everybody's having a great Wednesday. It's another rainy day, at least in Northeast Wisconsin. I hope it's nicer where you are, but this is probably the fifth or sixth day of the last 10 I've been rained on walking to the studio from the parking garage. And you know what? It's not so bad. A little rain never hurt anybody, but it would be nice to see some sunshine. Welcome to Nightlight. We have a great show tonight, folks. David Patterson, the film producer and writer of The Bridge to Terabithia, will be here tonight. His mother, Catherine Patterson, wrote the book, the award-winning, Newbery-winning book, The Bridge to Terabithia, which is an outstanding work of art. We'll talk to David about what he's up to and what films he's working on. He is one of the busiest guys I know, and I'm very excited to have him back on the show. And we have to, Conroy, we get some bad news. Our DeLorean Walls was supposed to be here in hour number two, and he had a family situation. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, I hope everything's okay.
Yeah.
We'll book, we'll get DeLorean rescheduled. June is Men's Mental Health Month, and DeLorean was going to come on to talk about his organization, Brothers Helping Brothers. He was on Mino and the Mayor last week, and he's a very interesting guy. So we will book DeLorean back, but more importantly, we hope everything is okay with whatever family situation arose today. And we'll have a secret surprise guest who's going to talk about the movie Ballerina in hour number two. You haven't seen Ballerina, have you?
I have not.
Okay. Any desire?
My go-to movie that I need to go to right now is How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
So I won't be seeing any other movies before that one.
All right. Fair enough. I'll probably see that at some point. I'm excited. But that's our show for tonight. David Patterson is up at 6:35. And our secret guest, who will give us a review at 7:35 of the movie Ballerina. I still haven't seen it. And you know what? The reason I wanted to talk about it is because I don't think I'm not going to rush to see that movie. I'm certainly not going to go see it in the theaters. I am curious. And I hear Anna de Armas is great, but I also have heard it's like the least exciting or entertaining of the John Wick films. So I'm not really in any hurry. Why does downtown Green Bay smell like fish, Conrad?
Because we're right by the water there.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That is so pungent that the water that's 100 yards away is permeating the whole, everything downtown smells like fish.
Remember in those quizzes I make, remember what they used to call the city?
I don't.
The City of Stinkers.
And that's,
or the Bay of Stinkers.
Regarding fish? That's what they're talking about? Or just,
well, it was the green algae. That's why they named it Green Bay originally, you know?
It's a pungent, objectionable smell.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anytime rain happens, you know, it's going to smell a little bit like fish.
I guess so. I don't understand that. This is a question probably for Brittany Merlot.
Well, I think it's because, you know, the water that's going up to the sky and, you know, coming down on us is a little bit efficient.
I really want to believe what you're saying, but I'm not
sure. I don't know what I'm saying. I got to say, you know, so today, another instance happened to me.
Oh, what now?
Again.
More old women that don't like you?
Actually, it was a guy probably, I don't know, 30-ish.
A younger guy, too.
I hold the door open for a guy, and he goes through the other door.
He didn't even want your charity.
I'm like, what?
God, what are you doing wrong?
I don't
What's
know.
What's your door-holding technique?
Well, I open it, I hold it, and like, I'm, like, waiting for him.
Do you, like head fake that you're going to close it on him or something and freak him out?
No, but that was, I was like, okay, I must be doing something wrong. It must be, like, my attire, my face, maybe.
Were you wearing a tube top again?
No.
Okay.
That's only for Saturdays.
See, here's what I would do. I would, next time you do this, you got to secretly record it so we can play it, because I would love to know.
Well, the radio can't, you know, see it.
Well, we could put it on the stream. You're kind of a big guy. I mean, but I don't think, and I mean this in a good way, I don't think you probably could look intimidating, but you don't. You have a friendly face. You're jovial, you are kind of stacked, man. You're maybe people are a little intimidated.
Well, I was flexing the whole time.
Well, there you go.
To assert dominance.
You're doing the old Dwight Schrute, which way, or the Tommy Boy, which way is the beach? Boy, that's a run. That's like a Joe DiMaggio 56-game hitting streak with you holding doors open for people.
If something happens tomorrow, there's got to be something wrong.
Something's wrong. And that was all in Green Bay. It's just a demographic. I would have said it's a demographic, but 30, that's close to your age, and that's...
Yeah, it was at the gym, so I was like, I thought, you know...
Wow, man, that's crazy. I had a guy follow me around the gym the other night. I went Monday night after the show, and he kept trying to work in with me, but I don't do sets. I do, like, this resistance thing where you put as much weight as you can, and then you let it, like, if you're doing curls, you bring it up, and then you let it down really slowly while you count to 25. Then
yeah.
Up...
Well, I've done that, but in sets.
No. This is not a set. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. You go down for 25 seconds as slow as you can, up for 25 seconds as slow as you can, and back down. So it's like a minute and a half for that machine. And it's fantastic. You're in and out of there. I'm in and out in 30 minutes. But this guy said, work in with you? No, I do. I don't really do that, you know, but if you need a spotter, let me know. 5 minutes later, work in with you? No. First of all, this a Nautilus machine, and there's another one just like it right there.
You know what? This guy could be... That was his first day at the gym, all right? And
yeah,
he just wanted to know what to do.
Maybe he doesn't
get it. He went to the
it.
Buffest guy he saw at the gym.
Well, at that hour, I might be. There's like four people in there. I'm rarely the buffest guy, but I'll take it. That's funny. I got to write that down. So here's the thing. You're a big Aaron Rodgers fan, and I heard this in the weigh-in. I did not catch this when it first came out.
I was an Aaron Rodgers fan, and he was in the Packers.
When he was here. Correct.
Now it's like, I don't really care what he does.
He was on Joe Rogan like 3 weeks ago, and he talked about if you get the vaccine, you get nanobots in your body that help the government track you. Like, when did this happen with this guy?
I've actually heard that before. Aaron Rodgers said that.
I'm sure it's a theory that's out there that he just regurgitated. But even Rogan went, "Whoa, dude!" Like that's
when you know there's a problem when Rogan said
that. He's not above spewing a conspiracy theory. But that one was, God, he had a whole bunch of stuff too. I read about it on Pro Football Talk. Those guys don't like each other, Mike Florio and Aaron Rodgers. So it's fun. It's fun to read, but he thought it was like, oh my God, I don't know. I don't get it. And who is he playing for? Pittsburgh?
Yeah, he's playing for Pittsburgh now.
He even supposedly bought in a little bit to the Sandy Hook thing, and that's when I was really... Like, you can spout whatever you want about vaccines. I don't think it's right to say stuff that's irresponsible, but the Sandy Hook stuff, like, even if you really thought that, don't make parents listen to that or people with kids have to... It's just horrible.
You know, he got married.
I heard that. Apparently, he signed his contract with Pittsburgh... With is he a
yeah, no, he had his ring on.
His hand was right in the shot. Yeah, right.
And then they asked him in the presser. He said, "Yeah, I got married."
Who do you get married to?
He's probably keeping a secret because the last time he had a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. He said it. The guy is definitely interesting. I'll give him that. He's fun to read about. I read about this over the weekend too. They had the No Kings March, and then there were the military parade on Trump's birthday, and they played Fortunate Son at this military parade, And it reminded me of in the 80s in Marinette, they did this thing called Celebrate. It was a 100-year anniversary, or it might have been a couple of years after it. And they, during the fireworks display, they played Born in the USA. I don't think people listen to the lyrics of songs. Those are kind of protest songs. And both of them are kind of like, why do poor people only go fight in wars? That's the gist of the songs. And I don't understand. And then there was like, you know, a theory that maybe they played it because it was in, you know, defiance of the president or something like that. But Born in the USA, you hear that all the time, too. I don't think people have ever really listened to the lyrics. There are plenty of stuff, plenty of things you can play if you want to celebrate America without any, you know, metaphors or a message about how you're anti-war. I don't understand. Those two songs, though, get played a lot. You know, the other thing I saw today, Con, was a, I was talking to this older guy at the store. He knew my folks and he kind of pulled me aside. We were talking. He had, I swear to God, this nose hair was like a foot, or not a foot, an inch and a half long coming out of his nose.
Were you staring at the whole time?
I couldn't not stare. It was, and it was the only one, like, and I get it. Like, he's a well-groomed guy. He takes care of himself. He's probably in his 80s, but I think it's the eyesight. I think they just can't see. Because that thing, man, it was terrible. And I wanted to tell him. I wasn't going to reach up and pluck it out myself or do one of those, like, look over there and then yank it out. But I felt bad for the guy. Because if he goes back to the old folks' home and he's got his sights set on, you know, Dolores or Gloria or someone, he's not doing himself any favors.
You should have bought him a nose hair trimmer for him.
What do you think? I made of money?
There's ones for like $2.
$2?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They're like one uses or whatever. But
yeah.
You'll get the gist.
They're good for one nose trimming. I would have helped him out if I had. I would have spent the $2 because he's a nice guy. But it made me think. I always have to wear your glasses as you get older when you groom yourself and cut your nose hair and your ear hair and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Where am I going with this?
I think it's time for
it's
the...
time. Yeah, go ahead. Do it.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, it's a good one tonight, folks. It's National Splurge Day. What is in your shopping cart? National Splurge Day. So our question of the night is, what is in your shopping cart? You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching on the stream, on YouTube, Facebook, or Twixter. Let us know. And if you're there, give us a like or a follow. We always like getting those. But what is in your shopping cart? What would you do if you could splurge and money was no object? What are you buying?
Well, I mean, there is something in my shopping cart. It's a new golf wedge.
Oh, golf stuff.
Yep.
Nice.
But if I mean, that's, I actually want to get that. But if it's something that didn't matter,
yeah,
I'm getting Packer season tickets, even though you can't buy those.
You can't. That's a good answer. Look, the world is your oyster, folks. Have fun with it. I'm probably just buying, this sounds so nerdy, but like ink cartridges and all those things that you don't like to have to buy, but you have to buy them. Maybe some electronics equipment, a new sound bar, something like that for when I watch movies.
An 87-inch TV.
87-inch TV. I don't have the wall space for that, actually. And I got a pretty big TV, and I got a couple big ones, and I have good sound bars, but probably electronic stuff. Like, I've never done the thing where I've wired my whole house with, like, music, so you could just
go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be
probably
cool.
Do something like that. But, and then I would probably do some really good Asian takeout of some sort. I'm an easy guy. Let us know what you think, folks. It's National Splurge Day. What is in your shopping cart? Dave Patterson is here at 6:35. We've got some funny clips too. We got to use. I got a great clip of Bill Burr who makes a point about how this is kind of morbid, but men are always the ones that drop dead immediately when you get to be like in your 50s. It's never women. And the way he tells the story is very funny. We'll play that. And a lot of other stuff. We got a fun night here. It's great that you're here. It's raining outside. Sit inside. Listen to the radio, folks. Be part of the show. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to say. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome in to the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, welcoming you into tonight's broadcast presentation of Rafters Baseball. It's the pregame show, and that means that we have quite a bit lined up for you. It's going to be a good one today. The Rafters, having split the doubleheader last night, first game didn't quite go their way, but they built some momentum up. In game number two, the offense looked really, really good, and they're hoping to keep that momentum rolling along into the game today. They're taking on the Madison Mallards for the first game of what will be four straight against the team who leads the Great Lakes West. Madison sitting at 13-7, the Rafters at 7-14 in the subdivision, and the Rafters got to get some wins to catch up. They're quite a ways back right now. They've dropped 6.5 behind the Mallards, so they've got some work, but it's not over yet, and that's why you play the game, is because anything is possible, so you got to keep playing to try and make the playoffs. The first half is coming nearer and nearer to a close as we got over halfway to the end of that first half, so it'll be tough, but the Rafters have a big one against Madison today before they'll hit the road for three straight against the Mallards tomorrow and a doubleheader on Friday. So it'll be one game tomorrow, two on Friday against the Mallards. That's why they've got three in the next 2 days. And so it's a lot of games against Madison, but the Rafters hoping that they're up to the challenge. They're going to be trotting out Seth Spencer on the mound, the left-hander who comes from Hope International. He'll be going up against the righty Michael Yeager, the pitcher who's already made a couple of starts for the Mallards, both on the road, so he's already got a little bit of experience away from Madison, hoping that that will anchor him down. It's going to be a big one for the Rafters today as they look to get the win here behind their man on the mound. We're going to go ahead and talk with Tristan Krusenberry, one of the relievers for the Rafters, who's had a few appearances on the mound, one of the returners from last season, and I was a little bit surprised that we have yet to talk to him on the pregame show, but, I mean, he's got a great story to tell, and, well, also just talking about the season in general and what it's like being back on the squad. All that comes up next, and then starting lineups and a pitcher's breakdown after that here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello. Hello and welcome back in to the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me as our pregame guest of the show, it's Tristan Krusenberry. And Tristan, you win in last night's game. It was a pretty crazy doubleheader for the Rafters. You know, a lot of pitchers had to be used. First question that I've got for you, what was it like kind of heading into the game? Where was your mindset at last night to be able to kind of go in there and just, you know, keep things calm?
My mindset is like try to keep it simple and not overthink. That's my biggest issue is that, you know, this game contains a lot of mentality. And, I got to myself into the game when I was pitching. Like 16, I think that's the last inning I was pitching before I got pulled. You know, I got stuck in the jam and I was still overthinking. But I just remember like pregame, you know, just stay loose and be ready for, because you never know what's going to happen when your name get called. But I just remember, like, just stay loose, keep it simple, and just go out there, have fun, and compete. I mean, it's a little kid's game. You just go out there and be yourself and have fun.
Well, you've already had a few appearances this season, and, some up and downs in there. Have you had any favorite memories already this far into the season, about, 3 weeks in?
Yeah, obviously, like, playing baseball has always been a little bit part of my life. I love every second of it. And I was in my favorite moments, joking around with Coach Spears. He's been in my corner for, you know, last year and this year too. Like, I love that man. And that's my favorite moment, just spending my time and getting better working with Spears. And yeah, that's my favorite moment.
Well, obviously a close connection between you guys. But last season, your first season with the Rafters, you wanted to come back. You were anxious to get back on the team. You know, how was your experience last year? And why did that bring you back to the team here?
Last year, which is awesome with the people and with the coaches and with the band. I love every second of it being here last year. And I just knew, like, right away that, yeah, I want to come back here. And I just thought I'd just do the same thing. And, you know, I'm a really big people person. I would bring back to the community, so, like, what I can do, you know. Yeah, being deaf, like, might be limiting my hearing ability. But it isn't limiting my ability to be able to, you know, play in this level, especially like I'm not a Division I player. And it just shows me that I'm able to do things that ain't as possible. Like I said, I love every second of it from last year. And I knew that I just want to come back here to do the same thing and get to do the thing I love, is playing baseball. And because you can't take the time back. So it's going to make the time worth it, knowing that I want to come back here.
And you mentioned it a little bit, you know, not a Division I player, but you're still playing collegiately, and you've played at Campbellsville for the past couple of seasons. I mean, what has the collegiate experience been like for you?
In this league?
Just when you were back in college.
I would say it's like, yeah, sure, there's a lot of, like, different variation across from D1, D2, D3, all these levels. And especially like in my school, there's an NRI, and our conference is pretty, very, very competitive because of Cumberland, Kentucky. They're a very, very, very solid team, and there's some guys still like 9-4, 9-5, and there's a catcher from Cumberland. He hit 36 home runs. Like, there is some good players all across the level, no matter where you play at. For myself, like last summer, I had a good year last year. I had a couple posts got on me. So in reality, it doesn't matter where you play at. If you're good enough, they're going to come back to you. But I would say that this year is a little stronger. It's a lot of stronger for me this year. But the reason I'm here is just try to get back to it, get better. But really, like, there's always good competition all across the levels. Especially like this league. It's considered the second best league besides Cape Cod. But there is a lot of development and a good league, where you see a lot of competition across a lot of D1 guys here too.
So. Well, it's been fun to get to see your mentality come out there on the field every single day, and, you know, just what you bring to the squad. Is there anything else that you want to add? That's all I've got questions wise for you.
Let's go Raptors. And I hope we win. I hope we find our moments. Once we find that moment, I think yesterday is where we found the moment, and just keep it that way. I think we will turn out just fine. And, compared from this right now to the first week of the season, it's a lot different now. I think we'll continue to get better and develop. And I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen next.
All right, well, that's going to do it for our pregame interview here. Quick break, and when we return, we'll have more Rafters baseball for you. The starting lineups and starting pitcher breakdown comes up next here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Summer is here, and construction zones are everywhere. With crews working diligently, it's crucial to stay vigilant for nails and screws on the road. After all, a flat tire can quickly derail your day. If you discover a nail or screw in your tire, head straight to 8th Street Auto. Their expert team will not only assess your tire, but also conduct a thorough inspection of your vehicle to help prevent future issues. Trust the certified professionals at 8th Street Auto to ensure your vehicle is in top shape so you can hit the road confidently and fully prepared for your next adventure.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I can just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Welcome back into Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and the national anthem over with. We are just about to get underway here from Witter Field as the Rafters are taking on the Madison Mallards in game number 23 of the season. It's the 14th home game of the year for the Rafters as they look to get the win here. And well, for the Rafters this season, it's been a little bit rough at home, but they had a very high exclamation point on a comebacker last night, and hoping to keep some of the momentum rolling from the offense that they were able to see late last night in the second game of the doubleheader. The Rafters currently sitting at 7-14 on the season. They're taking on the subdivisional leaders, the Madison Mallards. On the mound, it's Michael Yeager, and Yeager, he is a 5.63 ERA through just about eight innings in his two starts, and he's gone four innings in each of them. His last time was a little bit better, allowing two earned runs over those four innings after allowing three in his first appearance. But as a team, man, Madison is, I mean, they're top dogs in almost every statistical category. It's going to be tough to see them lose this game, but the Rafters hoping to do some damage. The Mallards, they have lost a few games this season. and you look at what they've done recently, and there are certainly some flaws with the team, although not many, but they have dropped games. And so that's what the Rafters are hoping to do. They're hoping to just steal this one away because it's going to be a tough series here. It's going to really be a tough go because you look at Madison, and man, they are just stacked. Let's take a look at the starting lineups. First off, with the Mallards, Jacoby leads off with Moreno behind him. Bell bats third, and Hansen bats cleanup. Batting fifth, it's Voss. Batting sixth, Hamilton. Seventh is Curry. Eight is Malamazian. And ninth is Sheffield. Pitching for them is Yeager, who I mentioned. And for the Rafters, they're going to be led off by Noah Ruiz with Mason Oñate behind him. Gunnar Myro bats third. Eric Parker fourth. Jack Guerrero fifth. Royce Clayton Jr. sixth. Chris Diaz seventh. Nick Adrian eighth. And J.J. Garcia ninth. First pitch just about to get underway. Seth Spencer on the mound. He's taking off the leadoff man, Dominic Jacoby, as here's a grounder down the third baseline foul at 6:35 p.m. Beautiful day for baseball here as the clouds in the sky get it a little bit cooler, but it's still 72 degrees and a little cloudy, but hey, that never hurt anyone as this pitch misses low to bring the count 1-1. And Dominic Jacoby up at the plate. He'll be followed by Moreno and Bell. Those are due up this inning. And the 1-1 count is not quite there as it moves to a 2-1 count. Jacoby leading off for the Mallards. He's batting 268 on the season and hoping to keep improving that number as this pitch misses again to bring it 3-1. And Jacoby on the season, he's been here most of the year. He's already got 12 RBIs with a 757 OPS. 3-1 count. It is called strike number two and brings it 3-2. And the Mallards, I mean, as a team, their batting average is over 280 on the season. It sits at 287. It's tops in the Northwoods League as this one's popped up. Center of the infield, running up to it is the third baseman Garcia, who makes the catch for out number one. One up, one down in the first inning, and it brings up Liam Moreno. And Moreno, the batter stepping up, he's a right-handed hitting left fielder for the Mallards. Defensive alignment for the Rafters. Over on the mound, it's Seth Spencer, who I've mentioned. It's his fourth home start of the season. All four of his starts have come at home. Behind the plate, it's Nick Adrian. And this pitch is a little low to bring it 1-0. And Nick Adrian looking to have a good defensive outing here as he had to go in both of yesterday's earlier game. Well, I was the first of the two games, he was a defensive substitution for Ashton Zacher. 2-0 count to Moreno. It is in there to bring the count 2-1. Back in game number one, he was a defensive substitution back on Monday. And because both Pat Costin and Ashton Zacher had already been taken out of the game, it had to be him the rest of the way. 2-1 count on the outside edge brings it 2-2. And Moreno, he has been stellar this season. He's from St. Cloud State, native of Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, batting 337 on the season. This one a high grounder over to third base. Garcia's there. He fields it, throws to first in time for out number two. 6-3 there, and J.J. Garcia making his name heard. Well, let's say his name one more time as we go through the infield defensive alignment for the Rafters. Over on first base, it's Jack Guerrero for the Rafters. Over at second, it is Mason Oñate. Mason Oñate back at second after he's had a little bit of chances at shortstop. But at shortstop today, it's Eric Parker hoping to redeem himself defensively as this pitch is a check swing, but it misses low and he does not go around on it. Brings the count 1-0. The right-handed batter, Mikey Bell, up at the plate. And Mikey Bell, man, he is a talent, to say the least. This one grounded and fouled off of the plate to bring it back even at 1-1. Right-handed hitting third baseman for the Mallards. He comes from Gonzaga University, and, well, he was the West Coast Conference Player of the Year there. A 1-1 count on the way home. It's an early swing and a miss from Bell to bring it 1-2. Bases empty with two outs in the top of the first. Tied at zero. And, well, Seth Spencer looking strong to start off this game, as he has in most of his appearances so far. The 1-2 count on the way home. It's hit up the middle off the mound and gets on through into center field. So a two-out single as Mikey Bell is aboard. He stays hot. He's batting now over 500 on the season thanks to that hit right there, and entered batting exactly 500, but just continues to improve. And, I mean, it's really incredible to kind of see what he can do, but it's still early in the season. Although the Mallards always have a ton of talent on these squads, and they're going to show it off here. The left-handed hitting right fielder stepping up to the plate, it's Carson Hansen, as he holds off on a check swing, a pitch that missed outside to bring it 1-0. Carson Hansen up at the plate. Hansen, a guy who comes from the University of Kentucky SEC school, as there's a pickoff attempt back to first, but not in time. Mikey Bell slides back head first over there. Hansen, he is a native of Pewaukee, Wisconsin. 1-0 count here. It misses low to bring it 2-0. And the cleanup batter for the Mallards enters today batting .356 on the season. Good chunk of the season as well. He has 12 RBIs with a .953 OPS. Runner on first, a 2-0 count and two away in the top of the first. Pitch from Spencer gets a swing and a miss. And Seth Spencer has been one of the best at getting strikeouts on the rafters this season ever since he came over from Hope International. He's been one of the team's leaders in Ks, and he has 13 on the season. That's fourth on the team. 2-1 count. This one's hit to the left side of the infield, and a diving play from Garcia goes off of his glove into left center field, and Seth Spencer going to cover third, keeps the runner on second base. It's a single from Carson Hansen. That's back-to-back hits from the Mallards as they continue to show off that hitting ability, and it brings up the five-hole batter for the Mallards. It's Nate Voss. Nate Voss stepping up to the plate with a runner on first and second and two outs in a tie ball game, knotted at zero in the top of the first. And Nate Voss may be one of the guys that you don't want to see in this situation. This pitch on the outside edge called for strike number one. Enters today batting .341, but with an over 1,000 OPS and 14 RBIs. 0-1 count with two away. Spencer looking to work out of the jam. It comes inside, and that's going to hit off of Voss's leg. So a hit by pitch, and the bases are loaded. And Spencer looks good visually on the mound. Up until that pitch, he's looked like he's been in control. That one, though, certainly getting away, and it really causes a dilemma here with the bases loaded and then the Mallards, one of the best offenses that you're going to see in the Northwoods League. The Rafters have to stop every run that they can as this pitch misses outside for ball number one. Batter at the plate, it's Davis Hamilton. Hamilton into the batter's box. And this one is hit high in the air towards shallow left field. Parker's there. Now it's Garcia. He calls it off and makes the catch for out number three. So Garcia, he makes all the plays over there as he records all three putouts and no runs on the two hits, no errors, and three left on base. It's knotted at zero. Into the bottom of the first we go here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Econ Electric Inc., based in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, dedicates itself to delivering cutting-edge and dependable residential electrical contractor services. Whether it's a new home or enhancing existing ones, their commitment spans every detail. The success lies in offering residential electrical services tailored to your lifestyle and property. Proudly serving central Wisconsin, including Stevens Point, Plover, Lakes Area, and Wisconsin Rapids. Experience the comfort and security of a Generac generator and the excellent customer service of Econ Electric Inc. now.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Good to be here at Witter Field and in front of the home faithful who have all come out in the droves for what is a beautiful Wednesday night, 6:45 p.m. and just over 70 degrees, as I mentioned in the open, and the Rafters have it tied 0-0. They had an exciting game last night. It was a fun night out here, to say the least, and the Rafters really put on a show as they'll hope to continue that one on against the Mallards today, but it's going to be a tough job. Michael Yeager, certainly a guy who you look at, and he's not going to be an easy guy to get hits off of. And you've seen that in earlier games. A guy who comes from the University of Virginia, high school class of 2024. This pitch misses a little low to bring the count 1-0. And Noah Ruiz batting leadoff for the Rafters. The right-handed hitting designated hitter. He'll be followed by Mason Oñate and Gunnar Myro as this pitch comes inside, and that one hits Ruiz square on the side. And that is not a fun spot for Ruiz to be hit as he walks on down to first, and he was feeling a little bit sore earlier today, and well, that was considering keeping him out of the lineup, but he said, you know what, I'm ready to go today. And he gets hit there, and that did not look comfortable at all. But looks like he's all good to go still. He's a tough guy out there, and well, he's made some big plays in his Rafters career. This one, a grounder over towards first. First baseman steps on the bag, throws down to short, and they got him. Double play. 3-6 double play, and that's how we get out of the jam with the runner on first. Noah Ruiz out at second base on the throw, and there's now two outs in the bottom of the first. Brings up Gunnar Myro, right-handed hitting center fielder for the Rafters. Two outs and nobody on. The first pitch misses inside on an off speed, and it brings it 1-0. And Myro, he has been hot to start off his Rafters career. He's got a hit in all of his Rafters games. Five games, he's batting .389 with six RBIs. More than an RBI a game, as that pitch missed again to bring it 2-0. 2-0 count on the way from Yeager. This one's off the end of the bat towards the right side of the infield. Picked up at second, flipped over to first base, and it's a 4-3 putout, and it goes three up, three down in the first inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on, and it's still tied at zero heading into the second inning here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Seth Spencer back out on the mound for the Rafters, the left-handed pitching starter. Well, he'll be facing off against the 7-8-9 batters in the lineup for the Mallards. We are still tied 0-0 here in the top of the second inning. The Rafters looking to get a win here against their subdivisional opponent. And, well, Michael Yeager, he threw just 6 pitches in a 3-up, 3-down first inning. It was a fun first inning for the Mallards. Despite having no run scored, they still feel like they've got some momentum against Spencer as this pitch misses a little bit high to bring it 1-0 on Thomas Curry. Curry from UIUC, the University of Illinois Chicago. This pitch is hit high in the air, popped up towards the left side of the infield. Garcia is there. He is under it and makes the catch on the pop-up. And, well, this is the 4th putout that J.J. Garcia has made. All 4 outs have been via Garcia. He's the workhorse right here, and so it brings up Cooper Malanazion as he'll be looking to record some outs here. And Malamazion up to the plate here. He is batting 147 on the season. The first pitch taken low for ball number 1. And you go back to the first inning. Spencer retired the first 2 batters. It was a pop-up and then a 5-3 ground out before allowing 3 straight to reach and load the bases. 1-0 count misses away to bring it 2-0. A 2-0 count with 1 away. Nobody on the bases here, and gets a swing and a miss on a pitch inside to bring it 2-1. And Malamazion, a native of Clarendon Hills, Illinois, has a 5.15 OPS. This one hits to the left side of the infield, and it gets by a diving Garcia. They tried to give him out number 5, but that would have taken a big play from the diving third baseman. So instead, it's a 1-out single from the 8-hole batter for the Mallards. Their 3rd hit of the game, and it brings up Noah Sheffield to the plate with 1 out and a runner on first base. And Noah Sheffield, the name might sound familiar. Sheffield, where does that come from? Well, it might come from Gary Sheffield, who some of you might know from his Major League Baseball days. Runner taking off from first. This pitch misses inside, and Adrian not able to get it in his glove by the time that the runner was well past being caught. So the glove just keeps the ball, and Cooper Malamazion, he's up to second base. With only 1 out, runner in scoring position, Sheffield, a 1-0 count on the way. He takes this pitch on the outside edge for strike number 1, a 1-1 count. And so Sheffield, he is looking to continue his ascension. He is batting 276 on the season. Goes to Florida State University. Runner taking off from second, and this one's hit high in the air towards left field. Out there is Clayton. He'll make the catch. Try and throw it back to second, but they can't double him up. Good throw, though, from Royce Clayton. Picked up by Onyade, but it was just too deep of a throw to be able to make. So instead, it's a simple flyout, and there's now 2 outs with the runner on second in the top of the second inning. Still knotted at 0, and Spencer hoping to keep it that way. He's looking pretty good early on here. He's allowed the 3 hits, but one of his biggest problems so far this season has been allowing the walks, and he's certainly been a lot more over the plate today. That pitch in there for strike number 1. Back to the top of the lineup, Dominic Jacoby at the plate. Jacoby up for his 2nd time today. He's 0-for-1 with a pop out from the first. Off-speed pitch drops in there for strike number 2, and that's another great pitch to bring it to an 0-2 count. Spencer working ahead here and hoping to have an efficient second inning. He's got that runner on second with two away. And on second, Malamazian already showed that he was going to take off this one over to right field, and it gets down in front of Chris Diaz. He'll try and fire it home, and it is way over the head of Nick Adrian and all the way to the backstop where Seth Spencer was sitting. Runner goes over to second base on the throw. It's an RBI single for Dominic Jacoby, and it gives the Mallards a 1-0 lead in the top of the second. And the Rafters are still looking to stop allowing those hits. And in general, they haven't done a poor job of preventing hits, as the first pitch here to Liam Moreno is taken for strike number one. However, it's been the walks compounded with the few hits that they've allowed that's really spiked their ERA. 0-1 count, runner on second with two away, and a check swing. Did he go? Waiting on the call. Yes, he did. 0-2 count. Looked like they were going to defer down to the first base umpire. Instead, it was called by guy behind home plate. 0-2 count. It's fouled back again. So Liam Moreno stays alive at the plate. Mallards hoping to drive in another run. Dominic Jacoby, he's on second base. You got to watch for him. But Moreno's got the ability to do some damage. Instead, he sends a fly ball to straightaway center field. Miro running up on it, and he makes the catch for out number three. So one run comes across on the two hits. There were no errors and one left on base. It's 1-0 Mallards. Rafters hoping to tie it up or take the lead when we come back in the bottom of the second here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Make a splash this summer on your brand new jet ski. It's Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa's Ride the Wave giveaway. Earn entries now to have a chance to win not one, but two Kawasaki jet skis on June 28th. Also, multiple winners of cash prizes of up to $1,000. On weekends, it's Summer Night Rewards. Receive $25 in free rewards play. And on Sundays, spin the Sunny Money Wheel to win up to $500 in cash. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Must be 21. See Ho-Chunk Gaming representative for more details.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
And it's time for the bottom of the second here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. The Rafters down 1-0. It's not too bad. I think you're okay with that, especially against how good the Mallards have been this season. Looking at their team totals, it has been a great start to the year for the Mallards. Despite them not really pulling away with the subdivision, they're only up half a game on the Wausau Woodchucks, and they're only up one game on Green Bay, 1.5 on Fond du Lac. So it's really a four-team race at the moment. The Rafters hoping to get into that conversation, but they've got a lot of work to do, sitting at 7-14 on the season. And the Rafters have similar batting statistics to the Mallards, at least in on-base percentage. The Mallards, a 411 OBP, the Rafters 404. But the difference is that the Mallards do a lot more damage when they pick up the hits that they do. Their batting average, 287, is compared to the 263 of the Rafters. And their OPS, 70 points higher. An 813 team OPS for the Mallards, 748 for the Rafters. And well, you talk about the offense. Obviously, that's half of the game. The other half of the game is the pitching. And the Mallards have a team ERA almost half that of the Rafters. Rafters up at 7.08, the Mallards at 3.73. So it really would be a big upset if the Rafters can pull off the victory here. But, they've got the talent to do it. It's just a matter of putting it all together. And that's been what we've been saying really all season long. As Eric Parker steps into the plate, and the first pitch is taken for strike number one. Parker, right-handed hitting shortstop from the University of Georgia. He'll be followed by Jack Guerrero and Royce Clayton Jr. Michael Yeager back out on the mound for the Mallards. Righty-righty matchup, and gets a swing and a miss on the breaking ball, as Eric Parker was, well, early on that, even if he did have the spot timed up. So an 0-2 count, and Parker hasn't been off to a bad start from the plate, batting 300 with a 913 OPS. Certainly been making it work up there and hoping he can do the same thing here. 0-2 count, swing and a miss, and that is strike number three. It was way outside there, but the catcher for the Mallards, Thomas Curry, able to pick it up. And no throw down as it brings up Jack Guerrero to the plate with nobody on and one out in the bottom of the second of the 1-0 game. And Guerrero representing the tying run here. It's still early on, but again, you know that there's only so much you can do against the Mallards. And, you know, you can be optimistic as you want, but you're not going to hold them scoreless the rest of the way. This one fouled back. Brings it 0-1. I don't care how good Seth Spencer is. It would be unrealistic to believe that they would only score one run in this game. And an 0-1 count on the way home. It is in there for strike number two. So the Rafters, really, I think your goal in this game is score those eight runs. They've scored eight runs in a majority of their games recently. And the 0-2 count is taken a little bit low for ball number one. It moves it 1-2 for Jack Guerrero. It's a lefty-righty matchup. And talking about scoring that eight-run margin, they've scored eight runs in their last four games. 1-2 count on the way. It's fouled down the left field line and over the fence there towards the Rafters bullpen.